Hello and welcome. My name is Christopher Chandler.
And my name is Chris Schauer. And we are Generally American. In our podcast, we discuss events, culture, whatever else we want from a generally American perspective.
From our differing viewpoints, our goal is that we can offer others and ourselves nuanced opinions on fascinating topics related to the U.S.
We invite you to be part of the discussion, and we hope that you'll stick around to see where the conversation takes us. So let's dive in.
And we're live.
Yes, we are. And I'm just going to get into it right away that I'm upset. Because I'm pretty sure we talked about the weather last week, how it was starting to get a little nicer. It's currently snowing.
Is it really?
And I have to go and do errands after this. And ever since moving to work from home, I don't leave the house very much, and I really don't want to in the snow, but I will.
Is it a lot of snow?
I'm actually peeking out the curtain right now. It's looks like at least an inch or two stuck. It's okay. Still going.
Okay, that's worth mentioning. So the weather here has been kind of, you know, terrible, as always. It was pretty nice a couple days back. It was like 60, 70 degrees, which I think is very agreeable. But ever since then, it's just been raining. Which really sucks, because I'll be moving soon, finally, after almost a decade of living here. I'm not moving out of the country, I'm just moving literally to the next town over. So I'm only moving like 3 miles away. But still, you know, now I gotta carry all my boxes in the rain. So that's not all that fun. But
that might be worse than when I moved in like negative 20. Because that sucked.
Okay.
But nothing is going to get wet and ruined.
I don't even know if it gets that cold here. honestly, I kind of miss that. Because during the Christmas season, we like to drink hot wine. Which sounds disgusting. But it's actually very delicious. But it only really works if it's really cold outside. And unfortunately, because of, I want to say climate change, but, you know, you'd be the judge of that. It doesn't get that cold here anymore. So it's not as enjoyable drinking, you know, the hot seasonal wine during the Christmas season.
Yeah, that does not sound good at all.
No.
But I don't really like wine. I like some whites, and that's it.
Yeah, ever since ever since we tried to conceive, so now we have a daughter, I just kind of stopped drinking. Because, you know, kind of like a side note, it has nothing to do with weather, but you read all these articles saying, like, you know, it's not just the responsibility of the man, it's also the responsibility of the woman. The other way around. So it's not just the woman, but it's also the man. So if men take certain things, drink a lot, smoke a lot, then that kind of affects your ability to conceive. I don't smoke, though. Like, I was being super cautious. I wasn't drinking that much anyway. But, yeah, I thought, like, every little bit counts. So, side note. But, yeah, the weather here is terrible, as always. Hopefully it'll be better in April. You know, April showers bring May flowers, as they say.
Here's hoping. The thing that irritates me the most is looking at the forecast. Our weather goes, and this has been, it's been this way for, like, the last couple weeks. It's okay to nice during the work week, and then as soon as Friday hits, snow. And I already see snow in the forecast for Saturday next week. Oh, so a week, 6 days from today. After it's going to be okay for the whole work week, when I'm not going to want to go anywhere. But anyway, that's enough of me complaining about snow in Montana, which should be expected.
Yeah, so that's the biweekly weather report for those who care. So what are we talking about today?
We're talking about music from a few different angles, like mediums, discovery, or how you discover new music, because that's changed a lot in the last few decades. I guess depending on how old you are, because I'm in my 30s now, so I can say some of you younger kids out there might not have known at a time when you found new music on the radio. Overall, that's where we're going today.
Yeah. I'll have to admit, though, according to my health insurance company, technically until 35, I'm still considered young, because I'm also in my early 30s, so I'm still young, but we're about the same age. Yeah, so generally when people talk about music, I think a lot of it is, like, reminiscing. I think I'm guilty of that, where I still listen to the same stuff I listened to, like, 20 years ago. A lot of the music for me is just for, like, nostalgic reasons. So I get stuck in, like, this loop of just listening to the same stuff over and over and over again. And it's really hard to break out of that. So you mentioned discovery. So I guess we can start there. So how do you discover new music?
So lately, and this is something I actually highly recommend you do with a handful of friends. So probably a year and a half or so ago, maybe like four or five of us, of my friends, we started like a music exchange group. Where we randomize who someone picks an album, we all listen to it, we all review it, we score it 1 to 10, and we actually have a spreadsheet with every album we've ever reviewed. And because a few of us are kind of numbers nerds, so we have like our spreadsheet calculates like who has the highest average score, lowest average score, you know, all the albums average rating top to bottom. Like it's just fun for us. And doing that, I have discovered a lot of music I don't think I ever would have found on my own, and in some genres. Like, there's a Carly Rae Jepsen album, which I don't think I've ever listened to her once in my life. I'm like, oh, really? I actually like this. Like, and it's kind of interesting because, you know, like a lot of pop stars have those, like you can kind of tell when it's like a radio hit. Like, I didn't like a lot of the radio hits on the song, but there was, or the album, but there was some other stuff buried in there that I thought was pretty good.
Didn't she write Call Me Maybe? Isn't that her?
I don't know. I don't know. But anyway, that's, I don't think that's a usual thing people do, but it's been very fun for me in expanding my musical horizon. So I highly recommend doing that.
That's honestly a really great approach. So my approach is less inspirational or less interesting, I would say. I just use the continue function on Apple Music. So when I'm listening to stuff I really like, or if I'm feeling in a certain mood, I'll put on a song I like, and then I'll just let Apple take me, you know, wherever it wants to. So like the two biggest today is like streaming. So you have Apple, Spotify, and a bunch of other things. We'll get to that later down the road. But for me, it's just listening to stuff randomly on Apple Music. Honestly, I discover a lot of music that way, mostly because I'm kind of forced to listen to it. So generally when I'm cleaning, I'll put my phone somewhere and I'll just let it play. And I don't really have like my hands free to kind of skip over the songs. So I get forced to listen to it. So, and honestly, it helps me too, because it helps me get past my bias. So like there are some artists like you were saying, like with Carly Rae Jepsen, oh, there's no way I would ever listen to this person. Because you have like these preconceived notions of how this person is. And then the system recommends a certain song and I'm like, oh, okay, well, it's actually not that bad. And then I look up who it is and I'm like, oh God, that's the person. And so I don't know. It's like, then it becomes like a guilty pleasure, if you will.
Yeah, and I don't know if you've ever had this happen to you. So Post Malone was another artist where I don't think I ever would have gone out of my way to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
But someone like a year ago picked the album Beer Bongs and Bentleys. And I thought it was okay at first. I like it a little bit more now. But there's something about the sound he uses in that album. Like when I'm having headaches, it makes my head feel way better. And it like, or if I'm like stressed or something, it helps me calm down. So I don't know what's going on there, but I kind of appreciate that I have like a handful of like weird, almost medicinal albums I can turn to when I'm feeling certain ways.
Yeah, definitely. No, I don't think I've ever really listened to anything by Post Malone. I pretty much stopped after like 2008 or 2009, to be honest. And so ever since then, it's just been by chance. So I don't really listen to the radio. I don't know if you do. Like an actual radio, like an actual car radio. but
I think the last time I regularly listened to the radio was when I was a cook, and we had a radio on the line.
Yeah, I think that was probably the same for me too. When I used to work in a restaurant, as you would have, or you would have the radio on in the background, and that's pretty much it. So I know for like a lot of like supermarkets, for example, or like grocery stores, whatever in the US, they have like just music playing in the background. They have that in Montana, don't they?
Yeah, it's never anything new. Like, you're not gonna discover. I have to say. So I worked at a grocery store for like 2.5 years, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the weirdest thing. So you get used to. There's not that many songs I can play on it, right? But like 3 times in my time there, it played Hotel California. And Hotel California is a good song. I don't think it's like amazing, but it's better than anything that would play over the speakers. And I was like, how is Hotel California in this rotation that it plays once every like 6 months? Like, how is this happening?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, a lot of the music that you hear at stores is to die for, in the sense of, not that it's good, it's just that it's a torture.
Yeah, we found the music. So we learned there's actually dials in different departments that control the speakers.
Oh.
So ours was in the bakery department, which was like right next to ours. Like I could walk 10 feet and be in the bakery. And everyone hates it, so we would turn it down a little bit and management would get mad if they found out. I don't know who it's for. I don't know who's enjoying the music at the grocery store, but we have to have it, apparently.
Yeah, I mean, but that's just an interesting cultural aspect, because we don't have that here. So we don't have, like, music playing in the background at all, really, for, like, stores or banks or anything. That's a super... I don't know. I wouldn't say it's anything specific to the U.S. I don't know all the countries on Earth. But comparing the two between, like, Germany and the U.S., you never hear music really playing anywhere. Everything's just dead silent. Because everyone loves their peace and quiet.
You know, now that I think about it, I'm pretty sure Costco doesn't play music.
Oh, I haven't been there forever.
I've been shopping at Costco more lately. But something I want to circle back to before we get lost on it. You were saying, you're just using Apple Music, a streaming service, to discover new music.
Yeah, pretty much.
That kind of introduces an interesting problem. One, you're trusting an algorithm, and two, you're trusting a corporation.
Oh.
So if there's an artist that theoretically you've never discovered but might be your favorite artist ever if you listen to them, but they don't have a contract agreement with Apple Music or whatever, and that's the only streaming service you use, you're never going to hear them. Also, if there's like incentives with that streaming service to push one artist more than another, or you might hear stuff you normally wouldn't. And also the algorithms in general for the internet are about keeping you engaged, so it's probably not gonna send you a bunch of new genres. You might hear some out there stuff every now and again, but it's not gonna take you from like, you know, electronic to country to rap to, you know, it's not gonna take you on a crazy journey like that.
Now I feel like I'm, you know, the spotlight's on me and I'm part of the problem. But that's actually a very interesting point that you've raised. And honestly, I noticed that a lot. So if I, like, what would be like a good example? If I put like on a Metallica song or whatever, and I just let it recommend the next song, then it might be like Black Sabbath, or then it might be like AC/DC or something similar to that, or Anthrax, I don't know. But you're never going to, like, you're right. You're never going to get from Metallica to like Taylor Swift. It's never going to like make that leap, because Taylor Swift is just way too different, than Metallica. Unless, statistically speaking, their model says people who like Metallica also love Taylor Swift. I don't know if that's necessarily true. It could be. But yeah, to avoid that, I generally try to listen to songs from like different genres. So I'll listen to like rock, country, pop, hip hop, and then I'll have to always switch it up, because otherwise I listen to country for like 3 hours and I didn't even want to. And I'm just too lazy to turn it off, basically. So
it's been kind of interesting for me. So because of that music exchange group I'm in, I'm listening to a lot more genres. Mm-hmm. And I usually use... So YouTube Music is primarily what I use because I have YouTube Premium. So I have the YouTube Music Premium for free. I'll usually just listen to stuff I've liked, and I have a pretty big liked playlist I'll just throw on shuffle. If I just let something play through, or I finish an album and let it go to the next, sometimes it won't go to, like, another song it recommends based on the album. It'll be like, we know what kind of music you like. You were listening to this, you know... It'll pick up on something I had to listen to for an assignment and then play, you know, another song by that artist. Which, on one hand, is kind of annoying because a lot of those artists I don't like. But on the other hand, it's probably a good thing so that it's like, all right, you just listened to the album you wanted to listen to. Now give something completely different a try that's similar to something you listened to before, but not something you just now listen to.
I've never used YouTube Music. I used its predecessor, which is Google Music, which is now dead.
Yeah, that wasn't very good.
Oh, that was terrific. I loved it. I loved Google Music. But no, you can't get me to pay for YouTube Premium. That's just way too expensive. But I do use YouTube to find new music, and I use the same method, and I just let it recommend stuff. What I discovered was lo-fi music. And I love it. I love it to death. It's incredibly relaxing. And it recommends me a lot of good lo-fi music. Most of lo-fi music is honestly, for me, like I'm not like a connoisseur or anything, but it's, almost all the same. So I don't really care. I will say though, for whatever reason, people love to put ads in lo-fi music. And I think there's a special place in hell for people like that. Because, like, I'll be relaxing to, like, lo-fi music. And then I'll hear some ad about some car or whatever. And it just totally ruins the experience.
Are they baked into the video? Like, an ad spot? It's not like a YouTube break?
Oh, no, it is a YouTube break. But, like, you can't skip them sometimes. So it ruins the experience. Or, like, nature sounds. Like, I'm listening to, like, whales. And then there's some ad about, like, the brand new iPhone. Like, I don't care about that. I just want to listen to whales.
I think I've had YouTube Premium for, like, a decade at this point. I can't go back.
Yeah. I had it for 3 months when it was free. Because you get, like, a free trial on it or something. And, it was awesome. And then one day I realized, oh yeah, you got ads again. And it just really ruined it. But yeah, so those are the main methods I use to basically discover new music. Sometimes word of mouth, like for my friends and family, like back in the States. And pretty much anything that's popular in the US will kind of eventually like trickle over here, I'll say. But it takes a while. So something that's popular like in January will probably be popular here in like May or like May or something, or like June. So it's really, really, really late. But a lot of the stuff, like if I really want to discover like American music, I have to pay attention to like Facebook or like Twitter or like Instagram, because that's where like a lot of the stuff is like recommended in the sense of like talking about like American culture, because here, you know, they only do like the really popular songs. Like on a closing note, I think like Beyonce is coming out with like a country album or something. I think like Texas Hold'em is one of her singles. And the only reason I know that is because I've been like reading American stuff. Like none of that stuff like really arrives here and like really reaches us.
Interesting. You know, another thought I had. Do you think there is a noticeable difference between how people discover music based on, like, levels of wealth? Oh, so, like, so the go-to in my head would be most newer vehicles. So I have a 2017 now. I used to have a 2016 that had Bluetooth, right? So as soon as I got Bluetooth, I never listened to the radio in my car again. I'm always listening to a YouTube video or music from my phone in my car, no matter where I drive now. But if you have an older car, because that's either that's just what you want to drive or that's just what you can afford, you're going to be listening to the radio, so you're going to be hearing different things.
Honestly, that could be an interesting, like, paper. Like, musical taste based on wealth. That would be a very interesting read. Yeah, I think that's actually a good question. So, for the first time in my life, I have a car that's actually from this decade. And not from, like, and not from, like, the 80s or the 90s. Both of which I've had. And so I just use my cell phone to listen to music. I haven't touched the radio in God knows how long. It's probably been at least like 6-7 years. And so, like I was saying before, for me personally, then I just kind of stay in my own bubble. I don't really actually discover any new music unless I really want to. And radio kind of forces you to listen to new music, I would say. But then again, it's really only like the top 10, you know, like pop music. It's nothing revolutionary, I would say. So I don't think you're really missing out on anything. But there are different types of radio, you know, like there's satellite radio for cars, for example, which costs a lot of money.
Yeah, so. my dad uses a Sirius.
I was going to say that's it, yeah.
Every now and again, I'll be in the truck with him and like, oh, I'm hear way different stuff here.
Yeah, and I think that costs money.
Oh, yeah, it does.
Yeah, so I don't know if I've ever had it. And then the quality is completely different. You know, the quality of the podcast, the quality of, like, the music you get recommended and whatnot. And so that probably definitely affects your tastes. Mm-hmm.
You know what's interesting? And I have a limited sample size. You probably have a bigger one, considering you grew up in the St. Louis area. So, I remember going to Denver, maybe 6 or so years ago, and spending some time in Denver, and we were driving around going, I can't remember where we were going, but we were going to do some touristy stuff, and we had the local radio on in the car, and it blew me away how different it was than the radio I'm used to here. It was... The music selection was a little bit different, but what kind of blew me away was it was like 65% music and like 35% ads and just the radio DJ talking. And I was like, this is so weird. But it felt a little bit more curated also, just a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point, though, is like it being curated. And like the whole DJ talking... I guess that's part of the experience, I would say. It's not really an experience that I personally need. But it is nice when you're driving on, like, long stretches of road in the U.S., which is very common, and you have no one to talk to. The radio is actually kind of nice because it feels like it's a conversation, so to speak. Although, how enjoyable that is a different question because... once you move to like a different county, then you have like a different radio host and like a different DJ. And so it kind of ruins the experience. But
it does give you kind of a nice one thing I do miss about it, and I've noticed this just in several aspects of my life. I feel like I'm so plugged into like the news of the country and the world.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone will come and talk to me like, oh, did you hear about this happened? I'm like, oh no, where'd that happen? Like, 2 blocks over? I'm like, oh. I have no idea what goes on in my hometown. I mean, a little bit, but that was kind of the fun thing about listening to the radio is you're like, even if it's just an ad, like, hey, this bar is doing this special on Tuesday, come on down. Like, it's an ad, but you know, like, oh, I can go to trivia Tuesday night at Shooters, or I can go to, you know, ladies night Wednesday night at Hooligans or whatever.
Yeah, honestly, that's actually a very good point.
as to why. And a big part of that is I also got off Facebook.
Oh. Well, I'm kind of forced to be on Facebook because that's where all, that's what everyone is, in terms of my family and friends. Although I found out that Facebook is apparently for old people. So yes. I guess I'm old. I don't really care though. Social media isn't something that's super important. However, I will say like Facebook Shorts, YouTube Shorts, and to a lesser extent TikTok are really good at promoting music. And so that's one of the ways I've indirectly found like new songs, because people like to be dramatic. And so they'll overlap their videos with some song or montage. And I'll be like, oh, like, what's that song? I've never heard of it before. So that's a small side note.
Oh, I can't remember the name of the actual song, so I feel a little bad. But do you remember the coffin dance memes?
No, I don't think so.
You could look it up even now if you want. It's not that long. But, like, look up coffin dance. It's like this elect... It's not the actual name of the song, but it was a pretty good meme back in the day.
Oh, yeah, just... yeah. I do. I just looked it up. I do remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people, like, actually... I feel bad for not remembering the name of the actual song, but a lot of people found that song through the coffin dance.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's pretty interesting, too, though, because a lot of... Yeah, a lot of memes, a lot of, like, shorts, like I said, like, TikTok, YouTube shorts and whatnot, really help, like, discover new things. So, yeah.
At the risk of being a complete nerd about things, I've been listening to a lot of Persona music lately. If you're not familiar with the Persona games, yeah, like, a big part of their selling point is that... The music is just incredible. Like, the joke everyone likes to make is, I just bought the new Persona album, and it even mm-hmm. came with a free game.
a lot of soundtracks to, like, movies and to, like, video games are also really popular ways of, like, promoting music. I think for, like, a lot of movies, the soundtrack is really what carries the movie or carries the video game.
Yeah, and it's kind of hard to rate music like that on its own, because music made for, like, a game or a movie, it's made to be experienced in tandem with that game or movie. So if you don't already have that emotional connection, it's kind of hard to enjoy it. I think most Persona music is good enough and of a style that you can listen to it as just a good amount of it as just music and enjoy it for that. But there's some soundtrack pieces where it's a good song, but you love it because you associate it with, like, a great scene in a movie or something. Like, it's a part of a whole.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know if soundtracks though are as popular as they used to be. But definitely when I was growing up, people would actually buy the soundtracks to certain movies. Nowadays, I don't know if that's still really a thing. I know that they do, like, produce and publish the soundtracks to, like, movies and video games. Whether or not they're still popular, I guess is, like, a different story, though.
Which is crazy. So a lot of the times on Steam, if you go to buy a game, mm-hmm. you can check, like, that game store. And you can buy the soundtrack, which you can find all that music online for free. Like, not even in shady places. You can usually find, like, official versions of it, like, on, you know, music streaming sites. I can't remember what it was. I think I saw a soundtrack the other day for $35.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, I wouldn't buy it for $5. Like, I'd have to, like, just because I'm going to... Am I gonna physically, like, download music, put it on my computer, and listen to it? Like, no, I'm gonna use YouTube Music like I do every single day.
Yeah, I mean that's a very interesting point. So, I mean, we've talked a lot about, like, discovery, like how to use, like, these different medium and whatnot to find music. But that, I mean, that's an interesting point. So, I mean, we don't have to go all the way back to like the 19th century, but I mean, for like the longest part, vinyl was the way to really listen to music, you know, having like these big, like, vinyl records. I mean, that was way before my time and way before your time too. But I know that my parents had them and sometimes listened to them. I remember them buying like a huge record player. And I was fascinated by the fact that you could like speed it up and slow it down. But by today's standards, that's, you know, like ancient. But, you know, if we fast forward a little bit and then to CDs, which is, you know, what we grew up with.
I would go a step farther back.
Oh, really? To like cassettes?
So, yeah. So when I was a kid growing up, my dad, so in our basement, for the time, my dad had like a big entertainment setup downstairs. Mm-hmm. Like, and he like had kind of surround, like he had these ancient looking, they're like wooden with metal, like they were either really old or just built to look like antiques, speakers in the back and then a bunch of speakers in front. Like it was a cool surround sound setup. And he had a CD player, but he also had a cassette player with stacks and stacks and stacks of cassettes from like the 80s and stuff.
Yeah.
And there was like, you know, Ronnie James Dio, AC/DC, I think there was some Metallica, like just all these, you know, classic 80s rock stuff that you think about. And in hindsight, and I don't even know what he did with them. I think he finally must have gotten rid of them because they take up so much space, but that was so cool growing up and I didn't really think about it.
Yeah, like this whole like aspect of collecting things, you mean?
Well, even just having access to it. Like, I'd play them sometimes. And I was just like, that's just something I did, but it wasn't something I thought too hard about. And it just feels like I should have appreciated it more.
I definitely feel that way about a lot of things. My dad also had a boatload of cassettes. I was still fascinated about the fact that you had like these little, you know, cassettes and like the Walkman, the cassette player. Which even like, you know, once I got into music, I mean, that was pretty outdated, but it was still, I don't know, really interesting making your own cassettes, like burning your own CDs. I'm pretty sure everyone did that. But yeah, this whole aspect of like wanting to own your music, which is something we, weirdly enough, haven't actually touched on at all, which is you don't really own music anymore. I mean, technically speaking, you never really owned it anyway. You just had a license to listen to it, but that's legal jargon. But at least like with a cassette or a CD, you felt like you owned it. You know, you felt like it was your property. And we sacrificed that for convenience because Spotify is only $10 a month as opposed to $35 for a CD, which I don't know anyone in their right mind would pay that much money for a CD, though.
I mean, as a collector, maybe.
Maybe. If it's a collector's version and it was signed, then maybe I'd pay $30-$40 bucks for it. But I don't even know what a CD costs anymore, to be honest.
No idea. Well, and I kind of mentioned it earlier when I was talking about that soundtrack I found for $35 on Steam. Like, I could buy it, sure, and I can download it straight to my computer. I'm never going to listen to it. Like, I don't want to open up my file system and, you know, find an album I downloaded. I want to just log on to the streaming service I use every single day, and I can look up anything I want.
Yeah, and that is the most important aspect, is just having access to everything you want at any possible time, which wasn't possible with like vinyl or like cassette or like CD. You can still buy vinyl, funnily enough, and CDs. You can still buy CDs too. I don't know if you can actually buy cassettes. I think cassettes are pretty much dead.
Oh yeah.
In terms of music, I know cassettes are still used for other things, but in terms of listening to music, I think they're pretty much dead.
Speaking of cassettes, I had a friend in high school who had the coolest thing. I had two friends who had this. So, you know how a lot of cards had aux cords and those used to be the cool thing? Yeah. So, they made a cassette that you plug into a cassette player. and then there's an aux cord that comes off that, and you can plug your phone into it.
Oh yeah, I know. I use that.
The first time I saw that, I was like, "Wow, that is so. That's so ghetto. I love it so much. It's genius."
Yeah, I mean, I had that exact same thing. I bought it from Walmart. Maybe it was like 10, 15 bucks. I don't remember. It was super cheap. And I was a high school student, so I didn't actually have a lot of money. As anyone who's been listening up to this point, I'm not a huge fan of the radio. And I hated listening to the radio. And so, yeah, so you bought it, I put it into the cassette player, and I could connect it to my iPod Nano, which is probably the most, like, 2000 sentence you can say. But, yeah, I love that. That brings back a lot of memories. It saved my life.
I remember being so jealous of all my friends who had one, because I used to drive a 2004 Impala. Mm-hmm. Which is a nice car, but it just had a CD player, so I had a handful of CDs. So I had American Idiot by Green Day for when I was growing up. I had, I can't remember. It was an AWOL Nation album. Hold on. Which album was it? It's the one that had Sail on it.
Oh, I don't know.
I had Megalithic Symphony.
Okay.
And I had Transit of Venus by 3 Days Grace. So those are like the three albums I had in my car. Uh-huh. And I would, you know, I would swap them out like once a month. But I would just listen to that album that I had in at the time over and over and over and over for like a month. And I imagine that was the same for a lot of people, and you just get, like, really familiar with the album. I wouldn't even say it's a bad thing, but it's kind of nice driving around just, you know, singing along to the album, you know, every word.
Yeah, unless you were rich and you had a CD changer in the back of your car. You remember those things?
I've never seen someone have them in their car.
Yeah, I've had them. I haven't had them, but I don't know if I ever actually had one, but you... Either it was in the back of your car, or it was on the front where the radio was, and you could, like, load in, like, three or four different CDs and just, like, kind of switch between them if you wanted. I mean, but those are pretty dead. I mean, those died, you know, the way of the dinosaurs, basically. But, yeah, that was basically the 2000s version of, like, streaming, I guess, if you want to call it that, is just having, like, various different CDs. CD player, so a CD changer, I think. But they were expensive.
It was so... I brought that up because it was crazy to me. So I wanted an aux cord so bad, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just so I could... Because a lot of times I was just like listening to like a podcast or like a YouTube video at home. And I'd be going somewhere and I'd just turn off the radio in my car. I'd set the phone on my lap. I'm not watching it, but I'm just listening to the video.
Yeah.
While I'm driving, right? And I was like, man, if I had an aux cord, I could just plug this in. And then I got my 2016, so I have a 12-year newer car, and I remember telling myself, like, I'm not getting anything that doesn't have an aux cord. Like, that's what I want. And I just skipped straight to Bluetooth, and it was like, I didn't even know this was a thing. I didn't even know this was possible. This is like a whole new world. I can never go back.
I didn't know that it was either. So I was just kind of Googling the whole aux thing, and apparently instead of having a cable, they have a Bluetooth receiver now, which is very interesting. So you can buy these cassettes that either have a cable or a Bluetooth receiver.
Oh my God.
But that is definitely super retro.
That's like a 40-year technology jump.
Yeah. This is a little bit different than music, but it's still within, like, the same topic realm, where there's this trend on YouTube and whatnot, and I guess maybe Facebook, to, like, retrofit a lot of these older devices. So, like, if you take, for example, like, the iPod Nano, which is, like, ancient by today's standards, it's, like, 20 years old, it obviously didn't have Bluetooth at all. And so a lot of people will kind of disassemble these things and then install Bluetooth on them. Like, they'll add, like, Bluetooth receivers. So you can use, like, your $500 AirPods Max, whatever they're called, with your 20-year-old iPod Nano using Bluetooth, which is just crazy. But yeah, I miss those days. I definitely loved having that. It made things a lot easier, having the receiver or the aux cable.
Yeah, I remember being, my dad had like an 08 truck that had one.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed and I was like, what are you doing? Why are you not using this all the time? I remember being so jealous.
Yeah, definitely. So, but yeah, Discovery and Medium. And so I think it's really interesting to think about what the future will bring. Because we've made so many like leaps and bounds in terms of like how we listen to music. And so now we're in like the Internet of Things, which I guess I found out today is an old term, but I still like using it. So I wonder what will come next. And I've heard some people talk about like the Neuralink from Tesla or Elon Musk or whatever it's called. And then like basically listening to music in your head via like a Neuralink chip, which for me is like super sci-fi-y, but you know.
It sounds terrifying. Like,
does it? I think it does too.
Well, I don't know if you get this, but sometimes you get a song stuck in your head. Like, I can get a song stuck in my head for like a whole day. Can you imagine if there's a malfunction and you actually have a song stuck in your head?
That's a really good way of putting it. Yeah, no, I definitely couldn't. I couldn't imagine that.
We're gonna let the Neuralink thing play out for a while before I dive into it. Apparently, there was a guy recently who had it done, and he was able to play, I think it was Civilization VI using it.
Oh, wow.
And he didn't just do it to do it. I kind of skimmed,
mm-hmm.
skimmed it, but it sounds like he was actually disabled to a degree. So he didn't just do it to do it, you know?
Oh, yeah, just for, like, for the hell of it. Yeah, I mean, I don't know who would actually really... Well, I mean, there are plenty of people who would actually just do it just for, you know, the hell of it, just for the fun of it.
We've seen with every big leap in technology, there's always people willing to be beta testers for basically no reason. I get it if you actually have, like, a health issue or something. Yeah, like, one, you're kind of... You know, you're donating yourself to the cause, I guess, mm-hmm. and two, there's a good chance that, you know, your quality of life is going to improve.
Yeah, that's definitely true. But we're slowly coming to a close here, Neuralink beside. But yeah, so I think the way that we discover music, the way that we relate to music is very different. I would say... maybe this is like a hot take, but I would say like the emotional connections we have to music are a lot weaker than they used to be because we don't really own a lot of the things. So a lot of it is very, like very fleeting, if you will. So like you stream a song and then you kind of forget it. Unless you make like a playlist or something. Whereas, you know, we used to own the music and like kind of pass it down, for example. But yeah.
Yeah, that's for sure. And I don't know the specifics, and I've heard that artists that have been around for a while and are transitioning into the more stream-heavy market or have had to transition, they have said they have to write music a little differently now.
Yeah, that's definitely true. Yeah, it definitely has to fit in like a radio format. It has to be like radio-friendly and whatnot. Otherwise, it doesn't really sell, unfortunately, so... Which comes back to what you said about the algorithm, that if the song doesn't really fit to the algorithm, then, like, no one will listen to it or no one will hear it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if you have a point you wanted to touch on before we get out of here.
Just one more. I spoke about this at the beginning. I do highly recommend get a handful of friends together. It's especially nice if you have a decent, you know, range of ages. Mm-hmm. And musical taste, and do like an album exchange group. Like, just take turns pick someone at random. I roll dice and take a picture of it and send it to our Discord channel. It's not that complicated. I mostly just like rolling dice. But
board games.
Yeah. And then you just listen to... You'll listen to things you've never thought of listening before. And I'll be honest, there has been albums I've absolutely hated and I will never listen to again. Like, there was one album I hated so much it made me physically ill. Oh. But I've found a lot of music I like, I've learned, and it's really fun to talk about music. And I think it's good for your brain to... It's a good mental exercise to have to listen to something, actively listen to it, form an opinion, and think, how am I going to review this? How am I going to word it? Because after, like, the 10th or so album, you realize you can't just say, oh, I thought it sounded good. 7 out of 10. Yeah, I thought it was boring. 4 out of 10. Like, you have to actually use good descriptors.
Yeah.
I think it's a good experience. I highly recommend it.
No, that's definitely, honestly, a really good approach, and I might try that soon. Take more interest in your own musical tastes and do your best to, like, leave your bubble. I know I'm guilty of that, and you'll be amazed by what you can find. Thanks so much for listening. I really enjoyed it. Hope you all did too, and we'll catch you all in the next one.
See you on the next one. Bye.
All right. Take care. Bye. We really appreciate you taking the time to listen to our podcast. We hope that it was informative and that we were able to expand your worldview, even if only just a little.
Welcome feedback, comments, and constructive criticism. If you'd like to provide us with any, please reach out to us at our Discord or email address, both of which will be listed in the description.
Thanks again for listening, and until next time.